WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeman, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTR live chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use credit code ROCKSOCK at the Fortnite item shop when you buy Avatar skins, Marvel, new battle passes, and more, because hashtag epic partner. I'm the producer, joined as always by the intern.
Hey, I was on time. How's everyone doing?
Were you though?
I was on time.
No.
Tim was here first.
That's great. Tim was here first.
He beat you, which is never the case.
Well, has Tim done his homework too?
We're about to find out, because we have the one and only Tim Stein.
Oh, was that my cue?
Yeah, that was your cue.
That was my cue. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Live Talk Radio Network. Streaming on Twitch.tv. Twitch.tv/WTR Live. Join us. We got a chat room. I dare you. And we're here to ask the question, where the hell's Brent?
I'm here.
Rock, have you seen Brent?
He made it. He's here. You sent out the call within not even like 30 seconds after 10 o'clock when you are usually 2 minutes late.
Well, I'm usually like doing something, but that's beside the point. I did it early. Shut up.
So here we are. Tonight we have a theme of the show. We're talking triple threats. Because there's a situation brewing where WWE has a couple triple threat ideas that could be lining up for WrestleMania. We're going to talk about them.
I hope that they don't go through with both of them.
We'll get to that.
I got the wrong triple threat. I'm sorry.
Now we'll just sit here and be the triple threat of the internet. How's that sound, Brent?
I was going for... I thought you were talking about singing and dancing and acting, and I was trying to get ready for all three of those, and I just...
Who the hell do you think you are, Elvis Presley?
I was going more for Ariana Grande, but...
Yeah, well, I'm watching a miniseries about Elvis, so whatever.
Awesome.
You look more like Elvis than Ariana, by the way.
Excuse me, I have the legs to be Ariana, thank you very much.
I don't need to hear about your hygiene habits. Awesome. And neither does anybody else.
Awesome.
That said, I think we've hijacked enough and pissed off Rock as much as we should.
No, you're good. Also, triple threat of internet radio, a vintage throwback.
That is a huge throwback, like 15 years.
that's an old one.
At least 15 years. No, that was closer to 20.
It is actually probably 20, yeah.
Wrestle Talk Radio has been doing live webcasts for 21 years.
It's been, and then you were doing it before then, and then it's a long time.
I mean, Tim was around since the invention of ham radio, so.
Tim invented internet radio. No, that's.
Well, I invented it, but I was one of the very first ones to do live webcasting.
And that wasn't a joke. It was a legitimate thing. He was one of the first people to do this. So
everybody else would record it and upload it. And when I was the voice of wrestling,
that's an old one.
I was doing it live with a couple of monkeys.
You sure were, and then everyone needed you to help them get their shit off the ground.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say. At least I hope you do, because I don't.
I don't know. Anyway, what we're going to be doing, we're also going to be looking at some interesting triple threat matches that, you know, they could come up with. And someone on this call decided to do a lot of homework.
I went for extra credit.
Oh, yeah. Like, Brown knows. Don't think you're the only one that made notes.
No, he apparently has put together a few things for class. Oh. So we'll talk about that. But let's talk about the stuff about coming up at WrestleMania. There are two ideas on the table that are being thrown around on the interwebs. Involving one person. Whether it be a triple threat match, as we kind of talked about a couple weeks ago, with the aftermath of the Royal Rumble, featuring Roman Reigns, CM Punk, and Seth Rollins squaring off at WrestleMania. And then there's apparently a push to do Cody versus Punk versus Cena. How you get there, no idea. But it's a theory being thrown around. Which one of the two to start makes the most sense in your mind, Tim?
Well, the first one, naturally, because everything that went down starting at, like, not really starting at it, but, I don't know, crescendoing maybe at Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Between Punk, Roman, and Seth. Does that not make the most sense they build on that one? Because they've already, like, done all that work and people have become invested in it?
It sort of makes sense, but also everyone's so invested in seeing CM Punk get the main event spot for the World Championship.
Yeah, probably nobody more so than Punk. The guy's always wanted to be the main event. And let's face it, the more he's pushed in previous years to be the main event, the more they've kept him away from it. And it's a case of they're doing, it almost feels like they're punishing him for being an asshole. Or demanding or acting a little spoiled, you know, go whatever direction you want there. I don't see the need to have Punk in that match.
And all that.
When it makes less sense.
Makes less sense, but a match between Roman, Punk, and Rollins should be a main event, a closing match at WrestleMania just on its own, because look at the names in that match.
Well, I would seriously consider putting that night one.
What do you think, Brent?
So my question about this is the following. If you were to make Punk versus Reigns versus Rollins main event, does that mean you're downgrading Gunther versus Jay?
No.
Because we know Cena and Rollins is going to be, or Cena and Cody would be main event night two, if that's going to be the match.
Well, here's the thing about that other title shot. You don't downgrade it if you use it as the first match of the night, as the hot start. You give them the opportunity to set the bar. You remember, the curtain jerker is just as important as the main event, if not more so.
Oh, I understand that. And trust me, we will talk about an opening match at WrestleMania for one of our other segments that that we have. There isn't a downgrade for that. But if you're trying to make Jey Uso, does this feel a little bit less than?
If you make it the opening match, opening night, no, absolutely not.
When
it becomes the highlight focal point.
when you dub everything a double or triple main event, I think that already started to devalue a thing.
I get that, and yeah, it's wonky to have, you know, we have three main events, and it's because, you know, in one reason, someone has to be in a quote-unquote main event. thanks, Brock. But just playing devil's advocate here, I understand the idea of, okay, the build at Royal Rumble is Rollins versus Reigns versus Punk. In that respect, Punk feels like an addition. It doesn't feel like he is a full member of a triple threat in that respect. It feels like it's Roman versus Seth versus Punk.
Well, you know, taking because that logic, it makes it, it's even more so the other one.
Also, to devil your advocate, Brent, why should Cena and Cody get the main event of a WrestleMania? They didn't win a Royal Rumble, which guarantees you a main event spot. Charlotte Flair did.
I understand that. And I get the fact of, you know, the winning of the Royal Rumble just guarantees you a title shot, not the main event. I get that. I would say, though, like I said, the longer story for me in the triple threat of Seth, Roman, Punk is Seth, Roman. Like, we've seen that. There's been a long story involving that. Punk entered it in terms of Survivor Series with his interactions with Roman. But it feels like with the way that this all is, it either needs to be, in my opinion, CM Punk versus Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins.
You're missing one dynamic. Both Roman and Punk are Paul Heyman guys. That adds an element to that match.
I understand that, but I'm saying of the bigger arch that I'm saying this is me personally. I'm not saying this is wrong if you think otherwise. I'm just stating my opinion for this. I either want to see Punk Seth or Seth Roman out of that. I don't know if a triple threat for the three of them makes me go, oh my God, this is must-see TV.
Oh, I understand that completely, but the scenario is presented. Which one of the two makes more sense and should be seen?
See, for me, though, I would say if you do Cena, Cody, and Punk, there is the long-standing story and rivalry of Punk-Cena that can play into his whole retirement tour. And I know that, yeah, sure, eventually you can get into that, you know, Punk and Cena having a match. It just feels like for this, if Punk were to call in his favor for, you know, for Paul, it would be, you're going to get me in that match. It's not necessarily, you know, oh, and I mean, maybe the favor gets used later on, but I feel like at that point it gets shoehorned in.
So that's your storyline hook of how to get to Punk, Cena, Cody, is the favor.
You could have that. You can have it where Cena wins Elimination Chamber. You have Seth and Roman, who already just absolutely hate each other, wants to see each other fail. That's a given.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got Punk sitting on this island now, and to me, if you have him get added to that triple threat, it's just kind of like, okay, cool, he gets added to the triple threat of Roman and Seth. Yay. I feel that the favor from Paul hanging out there is the way in which you can be like, I'm going to be in the main event. Paul, I did you the solid. You need to own up. And all of a sudden, Paul's put in this really awkward position of, okay, I've got to get you into this main event match. And the whole time Roman is sitting there like eyeballing him like, okay, wait, you're giving him this and I'm fighting Seth at Mania. Wait a minute. And that's where you can start some, you know, questioning or dissension in that ranks as well. I think from a longer term story, this works a little bit better. And again, you play into the whole Cena and Punk have a history. You can still have a, you know, passing of the torch moment, which is what this is all, I think, supposed to be, unless you have Cena win at Rumble over Cody.
Mania.
Or Mania over Cody to get number 17. Okay. But if you want to, you can still have that kind of big passing of the torch moment of old unstoppable babyface taking on new face of babyface in the modern product.
Okay, so let me put it this then. Since you both seem to prefer one-on-one Roman, Seth, or Cody versus Cena, CM Punk is left out of two big matches. What does Punk do at WrestleMania?
Eat popcorn in the stands.
No, I told you what I want from Punk.
What do you want?
You add him to the Cody match. You make it the triple threat.
No, I'm saying you remove him from both those matches.
Oh, you pull him from both of those.
Yes.
Wait, what do you do with him?
Yeah.
Oh, people are going to hate my answer.
Does it begin with an L and also have a P in it?
It's Maverick time! Only because I think if you do that, you let Punk eviscerate him on the mic in the lead-up. Logan can be a cocky, you know, son of a bitch, but you let CM Punk say everything about Logan Paul that everyone thinks. Because if you talk about money, you know, like, oh, Logan Paul brings in views, he brings in social media, let CM Punk go and watch what happens.
Yeah, you do that. You make sure that Punk delivers everything as if it was 100% shoot. Absolutely. That would pique the interest and make you wonder how Logan Paul would respond to it.
It would be interesting. So besides popcorn, Tim, who would you have Punk face?
Right now, off the top of my head, I honestly can't think of anything else that would be marquee enough at the moment with very little build other than putting up against Logan Paul. You can do that without making it feel like a throw together.
Okay.
You have to have Logan Paul started, though.
He already has.
I mean, Punk kind of started it on SmackDown the one time.
Yeah, I know that, but you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Well, like, I mean, never mind the jabs and the stuff like that. Throw the hook, because up to now it's been jabs. Never mind. No.
There's one way you can do it for certain. Logan Paul screws CM Punk at Chamber. They're both in the match.
They are in the match. The other, yeah.
Oh, and that screw job leads to Cena winning Elimination Chamber. So it's a work win win storyline wise.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see where they kind of go from here, because at some point we'll have a triple threat match of some sort. There's maybe a triple threat match for the Intercontinental title or a U.S. title, because the big thing is there's a lot of popularity talent in WWE right now and not enough matches for people. So gotta give everyone a spot somewhere if they can. WrestleMania is also known for having main events of triple threat matches. We've seen the women do it. Becky, Ronda, Charlotte, and there was the WrestleMania 21 with Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and some other guy.
WrestleMania what?
Redacted.
WrestleMania 20, yeah. Where it all began again. That we all need to forget about. My question, in all professional wrestling and sports entertainment, what is your favorite triple threat match ever? We'll start with the overachiever.
I have seven.
Here's tonight's top seven list, hosted by Brent.
You're supposed to pick one, Brent.
I understand that, but one, I don't want to pick the same one as you, and two, it also makes for more, it's also more interesting if we have a plethora to talk about.
Yeah, but you delivering seven definitely increases the odds of picking one of the ones I got.
Well, that's fine. It just means that I will gloss over one, and you can have the one that you... Actually, let's start with Tim for the one that he has.
Apparently, no. Yeah, no, let's start with you, Tim, because Brent has 17.
No, you started with Brent. He's got seven.
No,
let's go.
Got the one, so I'm go for it, because I can talk about the other ones.
All right, I got more than one, so no.
All right, let's do tonight's top 10. We'll start with Brent. Give me a couple.
Hang on.
Okay. Okay.
Ten.
I will start off with the one that most people will say is probably their favorite triple threat of all time, which is from TNA Unbreakable 2005. AJ versus Chris Daniels versus Samoa Joe. Very great match between all three participants. Everyone got their chance to shine. There didn't feel like there were lulls that you get in the kind of triple threats that take place. So there was that. One of the more recent memory ones that is a great triple threat match, because the three people just tried to go out and beat the high living hell out of one another. Gunther versus Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre for the IC title. I know it might be, you know, recency bias, but oh my god, that is still a great match to watch.
Let's stop you for a second. Let's stop you. Tim, have we hit yours yet?
No.
Continue.
Okay. One, I would say Rock already touched on this, and I wouldn't say that the match itself was great, but the overall impact of what the match was made it a great triple threat, and that is Ronda versus Charlotte versus Becky. The first time the women ever main evented WrestleMania. I think some of it was lost in the fact that it was a, 8-hour WrestleMania at that point?
Yep.
Kind of took a little bit away from that match because everyone was just dog tired and they knew they had to get on the buses to get, or the trains to get back to where they had to be because they stopped running at midnight. But the overall story that takes place with that match and the importance in history, I think needed to be kind of brought up in this kind of conversation. Mm-hmm. And then one more that I will talk about before we go to Tim, and then I can just briefly touch on the rest of them later. War Games 2017. It wasn't three participants, but it was still technically a triple threat match, Rock.
Oh my god, Brent. Okay.
AOP and Roderick Strong versus the Undisputed Era versus Sanity.
That was a really good
triple threat.
You really stretched the wording of that.
Hey, it is officially listed as a triple threat match in War Games. I mean, I could have included NWO Black and White versus NWO Wolfpack versus Team WCW if I wanted to, but I left that War Games out, okay? I still have three others, but
we're going to defer to Tim for a couple.
Rock's brain hurts at that one.
Tim?
Okay, what do you want from me?
A few.
A few of your triple threats.
All right, well, I got a couple of honorable mentions. I threw in Charlotte versus Sasha versus Becky at WrestleMania 32 as one of my favorite triple threats.
Okay.
If I remember, I very, very discreetly raved about that when we did the review.
The end of the Divas title.
Because it was the end of the Divas title, and it was a good match. And it really showcased what you know, the ladies are actually capable of, as opposed to what they've been made to do. You know, and I gave mention to the title match between Brock and Roman when Seth cashed in.
That's stretching the definition of it, but okay.
You know, it became a triple threat match halfway through. Officially, they called it, so it's official. It's, you know, legal or whatever.
Again, you're stretching the rules of this, but we'll continue.
The rest of mine are actual triple threats, okay, Rock?
We'll be the judge.
But the one that I picked is the one that, you know, my personal favorite, and everybody knows that I'm not the biggest fan of triple threats. It's the World Heavyweight Champion triple threat, WrestleMania 20, with Triple H, Shawn, and Redacted.
I mean, it was a really good match. All things considered.
It was an extremely good match, but also at the end of it, the celebration with Eddie and Redacted, two lifelong pals, even though they weren't lifelong pals, but you got the idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was a super, super feel-good moment at that point in time.
At that point in time, especially that night after what happened like three matches beforehand where everyone was booing the building, everyone out of the building, having that to close the show was a real highlight of the night.
Yep.
At that point. Now, not so much.
yeah, now it's Redacted.
It is as sure as Redacted from history.
What's funny is if you go and actually look at some of, you know, like some of the all-time best triple threat matches on the dirt sheets, more than half of them refuse to mention his name.
And then the other half put his name in there so they can get clicks.
Clickbait. Yep.
Yeah.
It's 2025. Can we stop clickbaiting him?
That'll never happen.
It doesn't mean it's never going to happen, but can it? Like, can we stop?
Yeah, no. Once clickbaiters figure out a certain thing works, it's going to happen. 10 years from now, you'll be surfing Facebook, and somebody will have some kind of bullshit fake link and link Benoit to it, and they'll say Chris Benoit. And somebody is going to click it just to see what's going on.
You mentioned his name. We redacted the entire segment, and it's you mentioned his name.
Yeah, but I didn't post anything as clickbait to get people to listen. Waka waka.
Brent, what's the other 50 on your list?
There's only three
I thought
left.
It was 48.
There's only three. One of them just I put on there for the fantastic opening to the start of the or the fantastic opening of the match. Michaels Triple H Cena from Survivor Series 2009 when okay. you had both members of DX in it, and it starts with Shawn just super kicking Hunter out, and there's that camera angle of Cena looking at him like, what the fuck? Just showing you how invested everyone was in that match of just wanting to win the title. You referenced, Tim referenced, you know, okay, starting a WrestleMania is as important as, you know, closing a WrestleMania. Well, a triple threat that should be known for opening the show and setting that marker. Miz, Balor, Rollins, IC title, 34. Quite possibly one of the best openers to a WrestleMania of all time. And then finally, just to, you know, I didn't see enough of ECW, so I didn't include any actual triple threat matches, because I never really got to see Douglas and Malenko and Benoit together. I did include WCW,
though. You said the name! You said the name! I don't feel as bad.
But Redacted versus DDP versus Raven for the U.S. title from Uncensored 98.
Also, we couldn't include ECW ones because they were known as three-way dances.
Yeah. But actually, no, there was a difference between a triple threat and a three-way dance. Three-way dance was an elimination.
Mm-hmm.
A triple threat, they had as well.
And also, no, they had a stable as the triple threat.
Right. That's what I meant by Douglas and Benoit and Malenko.
No, there was the
Jersey Triad.
No,
WCW. But triple threat was the original triple threat was Douglas, Malenko, and Benoit.
It was also Candido, Douglas, Bigelow.
That was a later incarnation.
Yeah, I was also trying to include them.
Okay,
that was like 2.0. You know, it's like the four horsemen. They kept changing.
There you go. Now,
but plenty of triple threats we discussed
that have happened. Now let's look into the future, or the past, or the present, because that was the deal. They were given the homework of creating a triple threat match featuring someone from the past, the present, and the future for the men and the women. And then Brent has a bunch of others.
I have six.
Did Tim not read the homework correctly?
I read the homework correctly. I said oops because I knew Brent was going to come with at least three.
Okay. So we're going to start
If we're talking about triple threats, I should have at least three.
Separate matches with nine people total. Does that help clarify things, Mr. Literal?
Actually, I don't have a repeat in here amongst any of them, so.
We're going to start with you, Tim. Give me your men's legend, modern, and future triple threat.
I really thought long and hard about this and figured, you know what? I think I would enjoy this as a very entertaining triple threat match. You take Shawn Michaels out of retirement, throw him in the ring with Seth Rollins, and bring in Carmelo Hayes.
Okay.
That's an interesting...
You like that one?
That's an interesting trio.
Yeah, well, you think about it. You got one of the greatest in-ring performers in WWE history, Michaels. Yes, I said it. Shut up.
Clip, ship it to Twitter.
He's got his technical skill, but it also his showmanship and his storytelling are way up there. And I have been critical of Shawn Michaels as a person, not his in-ring work. I've never said nasty things about that. Just Shawn Michaels Hickenbottom. But that got put to rest a long time ago. Anyway... You've got that, and then your main star, Seth Rollins, right? He's one of WWE's top stars. He delivers high-quality matches. He's got athleticism. He's creative in the ring. He's charismatic. And then you bring in Carmelo Hayes, former NXT champion, right?
Yes.
He's got athleticism. Yep. He's good on the mic, and he's got versatility in the ring.
Okay, that's not a bad one.
And I even booked the finish of it, too.
Tell me the finish.
Well, Michaels catches Hayes with sweet chin music. Rollins immediately breaks the pin, curb stomps Shawn. As Rollins goes for the cover, Carmelo, you know, he recovers and pulls Seth out of the ring, hits the top rope, nothing but net on Michaels. But Seth slides back in, tosses Hayes out, delivers another curb stomp to Michaels for the pinfall. Keeps Rollins strong, respects Shawn, as, you know, the legend, and gives a chance to highlight Carmelo without giving him the win, but making it so it doesn't hurt him, and it winds up strengthening him, keeps him strong. And it opens up feud between Seth and Carmelo. So there's, you know, one door closes, another one opens. That begins a feud.
Okay. Brent, give me your men's. One of.
Okay, that's where five of mine are.
Give me one of. Give me one of.
One of. One. Your well, best. I sent you the one, but I'm going to save that one for later.
Give me your best one.
Okay. We'll go with what I call the freak athletes triple threat match. My legend is Kurt Angle. My current star, because, well, he's still semi-current, Brock Lesnar, and your up-and-comer, Bron Breakker.
Okay.
Watch the three of those guys work, and they can either go, you know, if you wanted to see where it's like, you know, okay, they go amateur, they'd fucking wrestle. If you wanted to see athleticism out of the three of them, you could see it. Kurt pulling out the moonsault, Brock hitting, you know, a bunch of different suplexes, or maybe for this he would break out the old shooting star press and not try and break his neck this time. And then you just have that freak athlete of Bron Breakker in there who would spear the ever-living shit out of both of them and make it look amazing. But all three of them are freak athletes. So just putting them together in one triple threat and just letting them work for about 30 minutes, shut up and take my money.
What about your women's match?
I have a match that is athlete turned superstar. So my legend, Trish Stratus.
Okay.
My current star, it's a toss-up between Bianca Belair or Alexa Bliss. I'll go Bianca in this respect, although, in my opinion, Lexi fills that spot as well. And then your rising star, it's Tiffy time. Again, I think it would be a really good athletic contest between the three of them. And it's one of those where you can highlight where they've started from, look at where they're at now, and look at like the fact of you don't have to be someone from, you know, a wrestling family. You can just be a really good athlete, put in the work, put in the training, and become a high-level superstar.
And we get to see Tiffy and Trishy as a team coming up soon. So there you go. Tim, what is your women's triple threat?
My girls' triple threat match is apparently a secret,
which will be revealed now.
Yeah, I just had to scroll up to find it because it was listed first for some reason. So I'm taking Trish Stratus, putting her in the ring. I'm grabbing Bianca Belair, putting her in the ring. And then I'm grabbing Cora Jade and putting her in the ring.
That was Cora Jade because your mic popped for a second. Okay.
What's the matter?
Your mic popped on Cora, the word Cora. I was just reiterating.
So, that's my bad. Yeah, so Trish versus Bianca versus Cora Jade.
I mean, that's not a bad one.
Well, you basically have the woman who planted the seed for today's women's division in the WWE. Let's face it. Sure, she was doing all of the stupid, misogynistic crap that Vince wanted her to do. But at the same time, she was learning to be a real wrestler and actually the one to put on the highlight matches with like opponents like Lita, and they were delivering shit that you would see, expect maybe the Hardy Boys to do with Christian and Edge. And people were that invested in it as they were with the guys. So she deserves to be in there as far as I'm concerned. She's fantastic, iconic. And she gets a pop no matter what, if she's coming in as Trish or she comes in as heel Trish. And then, of course, you got Bianca, you know, current star, known as the EST for, you know, everything that ends in EST. She's held the title, right? And then Cora Jade's an upcomer. She held tag titles in NXT. She's got skills. She's got attitude. She is most likely headed to eventually become a major player on the roster.
If her health stays there, yeah.
If she stays healthy. But, you know, that's the ladies, women's triple threat match I'd be invested in watching and enjoying, probably.
Did you book this finish or no?
Yeah, I did. I thought it would be really cool if I booked finishes for the matches I picked. So Cora gets a chick kick. Bianca breaks the pin with her moonsault, you know, on Trish. And Bianca sets Cora up for the KOD. Trish tries a stratisfaction on Bianca. Cora hits Trish with a springboard cutter. Almost gets the pin, but Bianca pulls her off, delivers KOD to Cora, and gets the win.
Not bad. All right, Brent, you did extra credit, so let's hear your extra credit.
All right, my extra triple threats, and these are all themed, by the way, because I was like, if I'm gonna put a triple threat together, I want there to have a theme for it. So I have my beers and brawls grouping, which is Steve Austin versus James Storm versus Hangman Page.
Okay,
I think the three of them would beat the shit out of each other, and then all go out to the bar after. So it works.
Doesn't quite completely fit the definition.
Storm's current. Ish.
Hangman Page is more current-ish than Storm.
I would contend Hangman Page is still the up and comer.
No, I wouldn't. You got
the legend right with Stone Cold.
Yeah. It's you're really stretching that one. But it was a good pairing. But
okay. My next one is I call the Insurance Bowl. I think you know where I'm going with this, Rock. Cactus Jack, Jeff Hardy, Darby Allin. Last man walking wins.
No one's walking. Continue.
Seven-star classic, Shawn Michaels versus Bryan Danielson / Daniel Bryan versus Johnny Gargano.
Again, that missing the up-and-comer.
I get that. Johnny still feels like he's room to grow.
Johnny's been wrestling forever. He's graduated NXT twice.
Okay, I get that. And then there's the one I sent Rock earlier. I call it Meltzer's O-Face.
Oh, brother.
Kenny Omega versus Kazuchika Okada versus Will Ospreay. All three O names. All three people with 6.5 star ratings or higher.
Also, not a legend or a up-and-comer.
Legend is Omega. Current star is Okada. Up-and-comer is Ospreay.
Okay, there weren't any ground rules established. I assumed Legends was the retired guys. That's what the pool I drew from. Your guys aren't retired. They're still working.
That's right. I mean, technically, Trish Stratus isn't retired either, but we use her as a legend. So according to your logic...
No, she retired. She comes back as a legend.
But then she's an active worker.
As an active legend. She's still a legend. She retired. She had a retirement match. It was official. You know what? Wait a minute, Brent. Lindsay, love you, darling. You're in the chat room. Who have you got on this argument? Just let us know, please.
So, while we see if she's still sticking around and can answer your question, I have one other question for Brent.
Yes.
We've discussed a lot of triple threat matches tonight. Would these matches be capable of fitting into an 18x18 squared circle, or would you need the 20x20 squared circle to make sure everyone fit in the ring?
Well, I mean, that's really kind of interesting topic. You know, companies having to rent, you know, rings from local places. Look, that's for fuck's sake. For people who don't know what Rock and I are alluding to, and Rock's being a dick about,
just making a joke.
I know you were making a joke, but the people who are, look, there's nothing wrong with pointing out the fact that someone used a smaller ring, especially when it's an international event, and it makes sense that, yes, you will rent a ring or have to borrow one from somewhere local, because logistically, it's going to be a fucking nightmare to put that on a ship and make sure that it goes halfway across the world, gets where it needs to, go through customs, etc.
So, what was funny?
Go ahead. I was going to say, I get the fact that, like, you want to be defensive, because, oh my god, people are criticizing it. Let it go. It's fine. People pointing out the fact it's a smaller ring, there, you can do that without being like, it made everything worse, because no one was saying that, it was just, the ring's a little bit smaller. And instantly everyone's like, oh, well, get over yourselves.
So what's funny, me and Brent were having a conversation after CB Radio last night, and I just casually mentioned it because I noticed it on my television. I did not expect to wake up in the morning to see it be a whole Twitter thing.
Ringgate.
Like, I just casually asked them, did the ring look smaller? Because I was watching the end of the Tony Storm Mariah May match. That looks smaller.
He's like, does it look like it's an 18, like a smaller ring? And I'm like, let me take a look. Because I hadn't pulled it up, and the bigger problem is the fact that you put a wrestling event on at, 11:30 Eastern, Rock?
11 o'clock, 10:50 it started Eastern.
10:50 Eastern. Good job with that planning.
Great ratings, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, but the fact of, like, okay, you go and you watch it, and you're like, okay, the ring's a little bit smaller. But the one thing I will say that is of benefit for this, a lot of the people in those matches are used to working that style ring. Why? Because a good number of them came up through Australia, so they're used to having a smaller ring there.
Yeah, and most rings are that small, especially on indies, and Tim can tell us how big or small his ring was. But
it's a foot on either side smaller. That's what, a traditional ring's what, 20 by 20?
Yeah, I think so. I know a traditional ring is probably the 18 by 18, but the television for WWE and AEW are 20 by 20.
Okay, but so you lop off a foot either side, and I mean, I know that it takes a little bit because you're like, okay, how many steps is it, you know, running ropes, etc. That's fine. But to blow it up, to get that defensive over people recognizing it, shows that you have bigger problems.
And then showing, here's other examples of us using a smaller ring. Great.
We don't give a shit.
It's just a ring. Also, Twitter blowing up over it. Calm the fuck down.
Here's your biggest problem. If you're AEW, you have turned that into the story rather than, hey, look what we did in Australia. You manufactured your own problem because you turned it into that. I sent Rock like two or three sentences of what I would say in that situation, and it would have done light years better than the responses that they were getting from their senior leadership.
Great look all the way around. But anyway, Tim, how big was your ring?
I can't remember if it was 16 by 16 or 18 by 18.
Right, and you probably used a smaller one because you were in bars and stuff and they were smaller venues.
Yeah, definitely smaller venues. Space was an absolute optimum, but let's see. You know, it was probably 18 by 18. Even though it was definitely smaller, the ring felt pretty ample once you stepped inside it.
Right, and when you were this is the real point of it all, is you notice the difference in, when you're used to seeing them use one size of a ring and then they're using something smaller. You notice the difference. That should just be a positive that people take notice of your product. There are people watching.
Well, after a bit, for some people, it's really, really easy to spot. It's like I can tell when I'm doing my, you know, handyman work and stuff like that. If I got to get something level, I can eyeball it and get it to within like millimeters before I put the level on there. And it's just because I've done it so much.
There you go. But anyway.
Analogous.
That's our show.
Yeah, that's it for tonight. But everything kicks off yet one more time starting tomorrow. It's the Raw Post Show. I can't give you a time, but I can tell you it'll be immediately following Raw. Holy cow! Can they get some kind of consistency with the length of these shows, or what?
I mean, they have. It's usually 10:30 Eastern, so we'll be live around 10:30 Eastern tomorrow night for the Raw Post Show. Also, you never know when we go live, because we may go live at some point tomorrow too with something. I don't know. We'll see. Figuring it out. Continue.
There you go. And of course, Thursday nights, 10 o'clock Eastern, it's another edition of the Rack Radio Show with Lindsay Ward.
We are going to be reviewing NXT Vengeance Day this Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, on the Rack.
Are you doing anything Friday?
We're not doing anything Friday, we're doing something Saturday. Saturday, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, is another edition of CB Radio Live. Last night we did Would You Rather dating situations, where you would go on a date, because, you know, Valentine's Day and stuff, and they were the very unusual situations. This week we're doing a game of True or False, so tune in for that. CB Radio Live, 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Hey, works for me. We might even be back next Sunday night.
We will be back next Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. And on my calendar says Elimination Chamber Preview.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. We're at that point.
Yeah, we're at that point. So we'll be back next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, to preview the show.
Yeah. I was just wondering if Keishi might be available next Sunday.
When does his stuff stop? That's a good question. We'll find out eventually. He'll say something.
When do stuff stop sliding across the ice? Sure.
This is Alberta, so that could be as late as June.
Exactly. So he'll let us know when he's back, eventually.
Eventually it'll happen, but stay tuned to social medias for all the news and everything else that might wind up being important.
At Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, at the BTR Sunday, Facebook and Twitter. Tim, which Twitter are you on this week?
Well, I took a break from Blaine's forums for well over a week, but I went back last night because Canada USA at the Four Nations Cup.
Oh, hold on. We had a resub message last night, and I need to ask you about it. How about them Americans?
Yeah, there you go.
No, it was Matt asked a question in the sub message for 67 month last night. So he asked a question.
Yeah, what about it? It's a tournament, and talk to me when the finals happen. Shit happens. You're not going to win everything. You're not going to win all the games.
And when he said it, I had no idea what he meant. Brent, you're on the socials.
Yeah, you know.
You can find me across a bunch of different socials. X/Twitter, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky, at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens.
Chat, as a reminder, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Giving Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen. You can use credit card Rocket Socket before 9 a.m. shopping by Marvel, Avatar, Adidas, and more. Chris, hashtag Epic Partner. Send us home, Tim.
Well, that's it, everybody. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Hope you enjoyed the spitballing back and forth and the time filler. We'll be back next Sunday night to preview Elimination Chamber. Join us 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern, Sunday night for that episode. That being said, as you are, go do what you were doing.
WildTalkRadio.com.